You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis met on Saturday with members of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, who've been holding their plenary assembly here in Rome this past week. The three-day meeting was focused on developing a culture of encounter with the Church through the use of social networks and other internet technology. Among the participants was the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, who recently urged Catholic media in his native Ireland to live up to the highest standards of the journalistic profession. I caught up with him during the meeting to hear more about his concerns and about his reactions to Pope Francis's interview published in Jesuit journals worldwide on Friday. Archbishop Dermot Martin, you had some quite strong words of your own to the media in Ireland just recently about how they really must live up to the highest professional standards. Are you suggesting that that's not the case at the moment?
I'm not actually saying that, but I think it's very important that if we do have Catholic press, that it does come to the highest professional standards. It can't be a little world on its own. If it's going to gain respect, that's the only way it's going to be. We have a certain level of polemics, not always of the nicest way, and we have to overcome that. There's a certain rivalry. There are three large Catholic newspapers, and you know, each of them you'd have to say different things about them, and this would be whether they be conservative or progressive or middle of the road. I think, you know, that it is important. I also said it's important that the ownership of Catholic media be clearly there, because we've seen in history just how, when there are hidden groups behind any media situation, it isn't a healthy one.
Catholic media is often seen as preaching to the converted, not really engaging with wider society, and often having a very low readership or listenership. Do you agree with that, and what can be done to change that?
I began that talk you're talking about remembering when I came for my first ad limina visit, when I'd come very well prepared, and then the Pope sort of suddenly said to me, I want to know from you, where are the points of contact between the Catholic Church and where the future of Irish culture is being formed. And he talked about the press, he talked about the media, he talked about the universities, he talked about theatre, he talked about politics. And, you know, there's a danger that our Catholic press can be very inward-looking and fighting battles within the Church, where we do need, and we need this in Ireland in a particular way, a much greater attempt to enter into dialogue with the future where Irish culture is being developed. Otherwise, you leave the thing open for the domination to be of a secularized culture. One of the things about Pope Francis's interview, where he says we may be preoccupied with certain subjects, and the media are also preoccupied with the same subjects, that I hope that maybe what the Pope has said will give a pause when we can begin to look at the bigger subjects and to look at the place of faith in our society, even as that society becomes more secular. One of the interesting things, if you read the interview of the Pope, one of the reasons why I think it strikes people is because here's a man of faith talking about his faith. And we have to encourage this type of dialogue in our society and not be just inward-looking. You know, I quoted what he said to the bishops gathered in Rio about we should get out of our parishes. And sort of when you're talking to a parish, they kind of look at you and saying, what are you talking about? But you know, we do have to go out and reach those who don't come to us. And again, I was very struck by the phrase of the Pope in his interview with Mr. Scalfari here in Italy, where he said, I've got two things. I have to strengthen the faith of those who believe, but I've also to dialogue with people like you, who you describe yourself as a long-time atheist who's fascinated by the work and teaching of Jesus Christ. That description, maybe not long-term, but atheist who's fascinated, that describes many of our young people de facto. They may be fascinated of Jesus Christ, but they still don't have, you know, they don't know where they are with regard to their belief in God. And we have to have a church which reaches out to those people.
Certainly Pope Francis seems to be engaging in a far more direct way than we've seen in the papacy before. Do you think that perhaps he is the model, therefore, for how the church should be communicating today?
He certainly has shown a completely different style, and there's no doubt that people will say they're very impressed by him. There may be other models as well. The situation in each country is slightly different. We have a very particular situation in Ireland. We were a predominantly Catholic country, and many of the institutions of society were predominantly in the hands of the Church. This happened because the church at a certain period was the only one who moved in to do this. But now people are seeing this large presence of the church as somehow or other oppressive or an attempt to control society. You know, we have to find a new way in which we'll do that. We also have a situation in which many of our institutions of the church, they received financial support from the state, which was correct, that they had a right to become for the work they were doing in society. But now we have many Catholic institutions which are effectively state institutions. And we've lost some of that sense of the gratuitousness of Christian charity, which we have to rediscover in new ways.
Going back to the Pope's interview, many of the things he said there he has also touched on before. What really struck you perhaps as the novelty, anything new in that interview?
I agree with you fully that he has been saying many of these things before. But what's new is the broad context in which you understand why he's saying certain things. And again, there are people who are saying he's changed the Catholic teaching on certain things. You know, it's very obvious he hasn't. He says, I'm a son of the Church, I accept these. But he draws this vision, which was in many ways the sort of vision that many of us had in becoming priests, sort of avoiding rigorism and avoiding a laxity in presenting the teaching. He's saying that the Christian teaching isn't a bundle of books of norms. I think the rigorous sort of religious tradition in Ireland, you know, things were black and white, and if they're not black, they must be white. The Pope is indicating a different way, which is the traditional way, in which you teach. You don't impose that teaching, but you accompany people to be able to live that teaching better, day by day. And you know, if things go wrong, you meet them with God's mercy and continue with that. We have to rediscover that way of thinking. Perhaps we've lost it a little bit. We were rather puritanical. And there's a certain sense in which the Anglo-Saxon culture is actually at times quite rigorous and judgmental. You know, modern culture can be a very harsh place to live in.
Certainly the Irish Church has seen a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulties over the recent years. Do you see in these past 6 months of Pope Francis' pontificate a new interest and a new willingness to return to the Church?
There's a renewed interest. I don't know about how far. It's too short a time to see that. There's certainly an interest in the man. And there's certainly interest in what he's doing, in his gestures. We have, and this is where it's the task of the Church in Ireland, to try and build a bridge between the examples and the witness that he gives and the concrete situation of the Church and its history in Ireland.
My thanks there to Archbishop Dermot Martin of Dublin, a member of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.